The following audio is from Cross Life Church in Tampa, Florida. We are a church that exists to help people find Christ, their place in the body, and their mission to the world. Our calling is to raise leaders and plant churches. So if you live in the Hudson area or near Wesa Chapel, you can also check us out at one of our other locations. For more information, visit us at crosslife.net.
I want to read something to you from Psalm 19. The law of the Lord is perfect. Perfect. Reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The radiance of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than the honey from the comb. This is God's word we're talking about. And as we start this morning, I ask that, Lord, just please be with me. Please be with one of us as we go and read your word, Lord. And Lord, that we meditate in your word and that you transform us in the way that you want us to transform us, Lord. It's not what I think, but it's what you say in your word, Lord. Speak through me. Allow us to have open heart, open mind to understand what it is that you want us to understand, Lord. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have a Bible, can you please stand with me as we honor the readings of God's word, if you're able. Please stand and open your Bible to the book of 1 John, chapter 4. I know Colby last week read from 7 to 17. And the message, and his title of the message was, "What is Love?" Well, as you're going to see in a few minutes, is that love is still mentioned throughout the last five verses of the book of chapter 4. And we're going to go back, Colby, and we're going to read from 16 to end chapter 4 to 21. And he says, "So we have come to know and to believe." And that word believe, we're going to come back to that, because it is mentioned, believe. But what else is believe? Believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love, oh, what a word, abides in love, abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. Verse 19, we love because he first loved us. What a small verse and so powerful. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not have his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. At this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. You may be seated. What a powerful, powerful verses. Last week, Kobe read from verse 7 to 17. And the word that, I mean, I went back and heard his message twice this week. And the word that he kept mentioning as he was reading is the word love. It was mentioned, I believe, was 16, 17 times, depending on the translation do you have. At least in the translation that I'm reading from, which is the ESV, we just read that word 14 times. And that was just in five verses. 14 times in just five verses. I was just sharing with Tracy this morning. I'm like, man, how is it that, you know, when we talk about love, we just go back to the 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I'm like, man, we should just go back to 1 John. It's mentioned more than any other place. So the title today of the message is The Importance of Love. But did you know that all religions have some idea of the importance of love? All religions have some idea of the importance of love. One of the reasons that Christian's theology stresses the importance of love is because God has revealed that He is love. Wow. God has revealed that He is love. See, that is exactly what 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 says. It says, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. That's what His words say. Kobe, you covered that last week. See, what I see in these verses that we just read is that John puts emphasis, this is the emphasis he's putting, by drawing attention to the fact that love is rooted in God, who is in fact love. Love is both what God is and what God has done. God always acts in love, always, always. No matter what, Levi, you mentioned the best. No matter what you're going through in life, God always acts in love. Love is described in the Bible as personal and as selfless. Personal because it's between what? People. Selfless, this is the hard one, because it's desiring the best for others. The best for others. You see, Christians see God's love in sending His Son, who died on the cross, to save all sinners. Romans 5:8. But God showed His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died. He knew I was a sinner. He still go and died for me. For you. See, the real meaning of love and the real source of life are established only at the cross. It is not that we love God. We will never find what this love is if we start from the human end. We find it in that God loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. To see what love means, we must see ourselves as sinners, and therefore as the object of God's wrath, and yes, as those whom Christ died. See, before my salvation, I used alcohol, drugs, my anger, my resentment towards my dad, and so on. See, it's nothing to be proud of. Nothing to be proud of. Deep down inside of me, I always knew that what I was doing was not right. I was hurting myself, but most importantly, I was hurting others. See, there was a conviction. How many times did I hurt others because I was thinking about myself? That is not the love God is talking about that we need to have for others. I did not care about others, but my own self. I did not care about hurting people. But let me tell you, church, God transformed me from inside out. Now that I know truth, now that I know that the love that he wants me to have. When I do the things that are not right, man, I know that what I do, when I do something is wrong, get convicted. I can't go to sleep at night. It's not right. It's just, it's like a fight because the Spirit of God is living in me. See, that's the key. The Spirit of God is living in me. He's not going to let me just go on in life and continue to sin. He can. He won. Christians are to be known by the fact that they love God and others. I love being around my brothers and sisters in Christ. Man, I miss being here last week. See, when I get together with Aaron, Gabriel, Tracy, I mean, Kobe, and so on, so many other ones I can actually mention here, I'm always thankful and I'm always blessed to be around such godly men. See, we may not have it all together, but boy, we continue to encourage each other. I mean, Rob came this morning and just said, man, I'm praying for you and your friend. How's that going? See, John 13, verse 34, 35 says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. See, our love is not to be like the love the world has. It is easy to love those who love you. Isn't it true? It's so easy. But boy, it is so much hard to love those that don't love you back. That's hard. But Luke 6:32 says, if you love those who love you, what benefit is that of you? For even sinners love those who love them. I'm going to love my wife. I better love my wife. I love my kids. I hope my kids love me back. See, Luke 6:35 says, but love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be what? Great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Wow. So love is best seen in actions, and in most cases, is to be identified with what we do in our compassion and commitment to those around us, regardless of how they treat you, regardless of their character, primarily the Christian, by the way. We love because he first loved us. See, our loving attitudes and behavior are to reflect God's love. Jesus said that only two commands are needed to govern our lives. Love God and love of neighbor. If self-love is demonstrated, all the laws are fulfilled. So, you know, I got always takeaway. There you go. What's our takeaway this morning? You know and believe in God's love when you make it personal. When you believe it for yourself. See, this is hard right here. Because there are my kids. I want them to have a relationship with Christ. Yes, I encourage them. But I want them to have that relationship with Christ themselves. I will keep encouraging them. I will keep reading God's word with them. I will keep, you know, studying God's word with them. But they have to make it personal. It's between them and God. Just like it is between me and God. As scriptures tell us that John had a very special relationship with Jesus. He was referred as what? The apostle that what? Whom Jesus loved. Love is the most important part of our relationship with God. God never... Hear me out for a second. He never intended to be our religion. Never. It was his heart from the very beginning to draw us what? Into a relationship with him. That's what he wants. He has given us that. Don't miss this. The way you see God has everything to do with how you approach him and how you relate to him. That's important. The way you see God has everything to do with how you approach him and how you relate to him. Believe God's love for you. Verse 16 is all over it. Believing is different than having faith. So let me give you an example. I've been thinking about this. So the Word of God enables us to live a faithful life, right? Everybody agree with that? Yeah? Okay, cool. But just like a light switch on the wall, it does no good if you're not willing to use the light switch. If you never flip the light switch, what happens? It doesn't go, you will not see the light, right? So you'll never see the light. And if you never open the Word of God and read it for yourself and meditate for yourself, you'll never be able to live a faithful and consistent Christian life. It's that simple. We could come here every Sunday and listen to Tracy, listen to Kobe, listen to whoever. But if we don't go home the rest of the 7-6 days, what are we done? Many of you know that I travel. I know that some of you also travel to work. I take a lot of planes. But I know, okay, I believe that the airplane is going to take me from Tampa, Florida, to my destination. I believe that. I truly believe that. But guess what? But it's not until I sit on that plane and I strap it and I'm just sitting there that that plane take off that I put my faith on that plane that it's actually going to take me to where I'm going. See, to put one's faith in something or someone means that one is putting their trust in that person or thing. Just as the example of the plane, it can take me from point A to point B. But if I'm afraid to get on it, it ain't going to take me. I can believe all I want, but it's not going to take me. See, when we have true saving faith in Jesus Christ, we see the world and his system entirely different way. See, the Holy Spirit instructs us as the true nature of things and actually causes us to think different. We're supposed to think different. We're not supposed to think that the world thinks. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to the things of this world, but be what? Transformed to the renewal of your mind. But you know that so often we stop there? Keep going on that verse. That by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So hold on a second. The will of God. See, no, it's not your will. It's the will of God. See, if we truly are Christian, dedicated followers of Jesus Christ, then we will grow more to see our existence the way God sees it. It's not about how I want to see it. It's how he wants me to see it. Again, we don't open this, we ain't gonna know. Not the way we want things to be, but the way he wants things to be. But you know what? And this happens, and I think, Tracy, you mentioned that. When many people go through tribulation or distress or persecution or difficulty in their life, sometimes they doubt God's love. Listen, our friend that lost her mom unexpectedly at 71 years old, it was unexpected. Man, that lady has faith in Jesus Christ. She believed the Lord Jesus Christ. She believed who he is. But man, when that happened, she was still questioning, why? Why did it happen to my mom? Let us remember that God loved the world so much that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him, put their faith in him, will not perish and have eternal life. That is a promise. I don't know if you know about the promises of God, but that is a beautiful promise that me, little old me here, you can have eternal life. Wow. That's a promise. No matter the tribulation, no matter the distress or persecution or difficulties you are going through in your life, God loves you, and he demonstrated his love by dying on the cross for our sins. See, verse 16 has so much context that we can spend, man, a long time here this morning. But you know, Kobe mentioned last week a word that says abide. Abide. Let me see this word. Okay, good. The Greek meaning of the word abide is meno. It's mentioned 43 times in the New Testament. 43 times. 23 times is mentioned in the book of 1 John alone. 43, 23 is mentioned in the book of John alone. But here's the catch. 40 times out of those 43 is mentioned and is used by the Apostle John. 3 times is mentioned in John, verse 16. 1 time is mentioned by Paul. 1 time is mentioned by Peter. And 1 time is mentioned by the writer of Hebrews. And guess what? Paul mentioned it, the word abide, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. Each writer uses this word in the same context of how important it is to be able to abide in the things of God. We need to be abiding in the things of God. The word meno means to dwell at one's own house, to stay as a guest in someone's home. To have a friend who abides is to always be present, to help you in time of need, to give that encouragement. The Apostle John uses it to say that God abides in Christ. He dwells in him and therefore has constant influence in his life. We do too. We have the Holy Spirit in us. He's abiding in us. He's guiding us. But we have to let him. Here's a question. Are we always making ourselves available to Jesus? Jesus always made himself available to the Father. See, that's the question we need to be asking ourselves. Are we always making ourselves available to Jesus? See, Jesus was different and he could see the difference in his behavior. Our behavior must be different than the world. Jesus' love for us is way different than the world says love should be. My neighbor loves me. I love my neighbor. God's love is an agape love. Kobe, you mentioned that last week. You made a reference to that. But I do want to go a little bit deeper on this. Because to better understand the kind of love God has for us, it's important to know that there's 4 meaning: eros, storge, phileo, and agape. I'm going to leave agape for last. What is eros? Eros is a love that is passionate and intense. Wow. You know, it focuses on self instead of other person. It is a self-centered kind of love. A storge is a love that we have towards our family and friends. It is the love that I naturally feel for my children. It is also the love that I feel for a person that I call best friend. But it's also what? Self-centered. It's still self-centered. Phileo is a love that is affectionate, warm, and tender. It makes you desire friendship with someone, but it's also self-centered. If you go back to Psalms and read about David and Jonathan, it's an excellent illustration about what phileo love looks like. But now we get to agape. Oh, it is a love that is unconditional love that sees beyond the outer surface and accepts the person for whom they are. See, sometimes we try to change the person to fix what I believe that person should be. But that's not what God is saying. I should love that person for who he or she is. That's the love. No matter their flaws, shortcomings, or faults. Oh, trust me, I can think of some people that I'm like already thinking, I am so sorry for thinking that about yourself. Man, I am so guilty.
I forgive you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I needed it. See, this is the kind of love that is all about sacrifice as well as giving and expecting nothing, nothing in return. It is not self-centered love. You lay your life for others. I was in the cruise. I was in the cruise and I was sitting, because all you do in the cruise is eat, right? And you have been to a cruise. And I'm sitting, I think I was talking to Ayana, my daughter, and I said, you know what, I was just thinking here. I'm just sitting down. I don't know that person out there, the one over there going to the line. But God tells me that I got to love that person. I got to lay my life for that person. I don't even know that person. That's the love that he's talking about. God is love, and this is what motivates his actions towards us. It defines his nature. It is the kind of love that gives itself away. John 15, 13 says, greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. Brother, will you lay down your life for me? That's what he says. So much of what is called love in our culture is actually love of self. But there's a higher love that gives itself away. It is born out of the nature of love itself within a person's heart. It is willing to sacrifice itself for the good of others. That is agape love. Love is transforming power. You know, verses 17 to 18 shows that an important point that John wants us to apply to our lives, that God is love that it is who he is. It defines his nature. That is his nature. We are born selfish. We're born self-focused. We're born self-centered. But so much of self is self-defeating. It is self-destructing. It is hurtful to us and those around us. Only God's love can change us. Only his love can change us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God. And God abides in him. We are all on a journey. I love when Tracy says this all the time. We are all on a journey together of being transformed by God's love in us. Love is what makes us something. Paul says it, that without love, we are nothing. That's what he says in 1 Corinthians 13, 2. You can look it up later. Without love, we are nothing. God wants you and me to be all in. And we're all in. To love with all your heart. It does not work to say, I love God, if we don't go all in. If we don't love with all of our heart, seek him with all your heart. Jeremiah 29, 13, you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all of what? Your heart. All of it. It doesn't say, just give me 5%. Give me 10%. It says, all of your heart. See, the point of prayer is just not praying. The point of prayer is to be with the Lord with all of your heart. it's a different when my kids are just being nice to me because they want something, and where they just want to hang out with me because they really want to hang out with me because they love me. See, that brings joy to me. They want to hang out with Daddy because, Daddy, I just want to hang out with you. Oh, and you'll know that difference because they'll mention it. See, once you receive his love fully, you will be transformed by it. The love we receive must be passed on to others. Since God is the source, love needs to flow through us onto others. So, as we have been saying during these weeks, since I think we've been on the book of 1 John for, 2 months or so? Love is defined as an unwavering, enduring commitment from a willing heart to give oneself without consideration of the extent of the cost. See, the radical display of the amazing love from God is supposed to move us to love one another no matter the circumstances. Yes, I know. That is not easy. However, if we just read 4:19, it says, we love because he first loved us. Love is more than just words. Love requires action. Just as faith requires action or is what? Dead. God is showing us that love without action is not love at all. Is that what he says? The scripture is very clear. If we do not love others, then we cannot love God. If I am not loving others as I should, then I do not know God's love as I should. I simply do not understand the love of God that has been expressed to me. It has not affected my life. It has not changed my heart. Have you ever, I asked this question to my wife this morning, have you ever had somebody do something to you terribly wrong that you could not even hear the person's name being mentioned? I know I have. I mean, I can tell you, I know I have. I can only imagine how Jesus loved those who were beating him, those who were cursing at him, those who were nailing his hand and his feet on the cross. But you know that Jesus not once said to them, please, stop doing this to me because it hurt. He never pushed back. He never looked at them in a condescending way. He prayed for them. And guess what? Die for their sins. That is agape law. So in conclusion, I'm going to call Andrew, Aiden, Jeter, Nathaniel. Is we Nathaniel here? Yes. Come on for a second. We can say, or we cannot say we love and not do the things that show that we truly love. In the same way, we cannot say we love God but not love one another, because loving one another is how we show we love God. I want you to listen. I want you to just close your eyes for a second. Do me a favor. I'm not going to come up to you. You close your eyes for a second. And I want you to listen to how John made these points earlier on this letter. I'm going to start with Andrew. Go read it, please.
Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes.
Thank you. Next.
By this evident, right? Who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil? Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother.
We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death.
By this we know that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers.
Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Loving others means not thinking about ourselves. This is the fight for love that we must engage. Love is a battle against our selfish desires. The more we know God, then the more we will be in awe of him. And we will be transformed to love as we should. You mind closing us in prayer, please? Thank you.
Dear God, I thank you for this day, for letting us come together and study your word. And I hope that we can all remember to show love to one another, and that remember that if you do not love your brother, then you are not of God. And that if you do not love someone, then you cannot love God. And help us this week love everybody that we see. And thanks for Jomiel, preaching today and putting your word through him and helping us understand your word better. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys. Awesome.